Within the past decade, the number of children in West Virginia's foster care system has increased by more than 65%. Today, roughly 7,000 children are in state custody. The opioid epidemic hit families hard, and now the pandemic is making things even harder. Despite this, people are finding ways to move forward. Emily Corio has the story.
On a recent fall morning, Dr. Joshua Carter spins a metal bingo drum at his office at Cabin Creek Health Systems near Charleston. For his patients, it's the sound of progress. Every time they pass a drug test, they can spin the drum to earn prizes, like gas carts, track phones, or toys for their children. It's part of a program to treat methamphetamine addiction, but it requires in-person visits, and that hasn't always been possible this year.
The big thing we've had to do is figure out how to keep everybody connected.
Earlier in the pandemic, Dr. Carter saw increased dropout rates in his treatment programs as patients struggled to get to the three-month sober mark.
Since we went back to in-person for the last about month and a half, we finally had five people this week hit 90 days and get to graduate to the next phase of treatment.
Dr. Carter says Zoom meetings weren't as effective as in-person, and normal program requirements like volunteer work had to be scrapped. The pandemic has also created situations that challenge those in recovery.
We always talk about in group the three big triggers as time, money, and boredom.
A national survey conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in June showed that 13% of respondents had started or increased substance use during the pandemic. Meanwhile, the number of emergency room visits in the state related to drug overdoses increased this summer when compared to the same time last year. Some of those struggling with addiction are parents whose children may end up in state custody. Delvin Johnson is the site manager of the Davis Child Emergency Shelter in Charleston, where kids ages 12 to 18 can go until they have a more permanent place in foster care.
We are resuming like a sense of normalcy, kind of.
Back in the spring, the shelter was full and children were staying longer. Since then, children have come and gone, and now a new school year is well underway.
You know, youth care workers, you know, myself, the new shelter supervisor, you know, everybody's basically become teachers.
Johnson says the staff and the kids have adjusted well, but some other aspects of daily life are more challenging, like getting kids to wear masks all the time. There was a scare at the shelter this summer when a staff member tested positive for coronavirus. Kids were quarantined for about a month. Staff could only go between the shelter and their homes, but no one else contracted the virus.
We were cleaning a lot during that time, even still do, you know, sanitizing the surfaces, wiping off doorknobs, you know, wearing PPE, the face mask and everything like that.
But there have been around 100 cases of COVID-19 among children in state custody since the pandemic began. Back in March, foster parent Amber Gall was caring for her three children and fostering two others, one of whom was close to being reunified with her parents. Then overnight trips to their house stopped and calls took their place. Gall says it wasn't easy to keep a toddler interested in a video call for an hour, but she says it was worth it.
If they're seeing their baby on the phone once a week, twice a week, that gives them a goal to shoot for. Otherwise, especially with like the drugs, it's easy to slide back into something that's not so conducive to healing.
Then about 2 months into the pandemic, the little girl was reunified with her parents. In September, Gall and her husband adopted a four-year-old boy they had been fostering for a year. This was their second adoption, but this one happened over Zoom due to the pandemic.
It was quite a different experience, but it was equally as special. And then later that day, we had a drive-by congratulations party for him.
And so even in the middle of this pandemic, there is some healing and hope. Brittany Adkins' story is also evidence of that. About this time last year, she was addicted to heroin and ended up in jail for 30 days. That's where she was when she learned that her four daughters were taken into state custody.
Well, my rock bottom, I think, was when my kids got taken.
Soon after, she also learned about Family Treatment Court. The court program started in Boone County last year to address the drug epidemic's effect on families. Parents involved in child abuse and neglect cases are connected to addiction treatment and parenting classes, among other things. Atkins was interested, especially since she could see her children throughout the process.
When they said those words, you get to see your children automatically as soon as the day is set up, I said yes. That was it. That's all it took for me to say yes, I want to be in family treatment court.
Atkins regained custody of her four daughters ages 2 to 10 in August.
I'm going to start out with Brittany Atkins. Brittany,
along with seven others, Atkins graduated from family treatment court last month. Circuit Judge Will Thompson spoke about her success.
Brittany encountered some hiccups when she first came into the program. However, with increased treatment and support, you now have 232 clean days. That's incredible, guys.
And that, too, is the sound of progress. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Emily Corio in Morgantown, West Virginia.